Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. This is hour number two. Dr. Umat in the studio with us, and Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. Dr. Mixon is in Hawaii enjoying some time off, and we thought, you know, he works hard enough. We should give him a couple of days.
He's been itching to go.
Yes, he has, and it's been so busy with all the gallery tests all of the clinics last week. We invite you. You listen to the show, and we talk about our health analysis, our free health analysis. And you know what? We're continuing that into this new year. An opportunity for you to come by, meet our staff at Longevity, and do just two simple tests that give the doctors a lot of information. Right, Dr. Umat?
Yeah. You know, it's basically the tip of the iceberg. The hemoglobin A1C will tell us about glycosylated hemoglobin, which tells us about your risk for prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. And that then tells us, you know, the risk for degenerative joint disease, cancer, vision problems, dementia, so on and so forth. So it's a window, it's an opportunity for us to see what is in the horizon in the future, because we know that if you have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, this is what's going to happen later on. So it allows us to see that. And the second thing is the in-body, where when you stand on a machine, we look at visceral fat versus muscle mass. And we all lose muscle mass as we get older, and we gain fat, and we gain visceral fat, and this is the dangerous fat. This is not the fat that's under the skin, the subcutaneous fat. This is the fat that surrounds the inner, deeper organs, and unfortunately, this is pro-inflammatory, and with that, therefore, increases the risk for so many conditions that are related to inflammation. And that then gives us some idea about your health. So you will tell us more about yourself, and we need that information, but these two simple tests that are free for you will give us an idea of how well you are doing, regardless of your age. And we use that information then to basically predict what might be coming down the pipeline for you in the future. Now, if after that visit and the chat with the doctor for a few minutes, you decide to go ahead and do the full blood draw panel, it's $595, and it includes a lot of blood tests that we do routinely and the MyDNAH test. And with that information, we have more knowledge and more access to data that tells us about your hormonal health, inflammation markers, cardiac risk factors, sugar levels, vitamin and nutrient levels, metabolic panel, anemia risk, and so on and so forth. And that then is the foundation which we build on afterwards. So, you know, I've been saying this today a lot. It's you get longevity when you get to longevity. We basically then start the process of helping you recover and heal so that in real time you start feeling better. And even in the few years that I've been here, so much has changed, and we're building on everything that we're doing. Every year we gain more knowledge. We bring you that knowledge. The goal being we want you to be better tomorrow than you are today.
Yes.
And how can we help you on your journey? And so there's a lot of things that go into your original visit, a lot of thought processes. So if you are experiencing something, hot flashes, pain, memory lapses, not functioning as well as you used to, not being able to do the things that are important to you. Well, that's the time to come to us, but because we might be able to find out what's going on and help you prevent that from getting worse and maybe even reversing it.
Absolutely. And it all starts with that free health analysis appointment. And this is what you do, finally, because you've been thinking about it for a while. Go ahead and give us a call, and you can do that today. Here is that number to get scheduled. There are three clinics. One will be near you, Kirkland, Tacoma, Linwood. And you can pick the day and the time that worked the best for you. Here's that number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's it. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. All right. Leading Edge Medicine continues. The phones are flashing. We will head to Edmonds, and we have Ed from Edmonds on the line.
Before we take Ed, can I just say?
Sure.
Apparently, I've talked to Dr. Mixon. Eventually, this is going to be simulcast. We'll have live video.
Will. Yes.
And what I just witnessed from Dr. Yu, Matt, the radio listeners are missing out. She is so elegant in the way she talks. She's using her hands.
Yes.
And it's just like, I'm just like.
Oh, you'll get to see that.
She just kind of talks, and I'm just like, right, Lynn?
That's right. And then you'll get to see all the weird faces I make when I don't understand something or I'm like, wow.
She does it so well, the way she.
Oh, yes.
It's just a pleasure to watch it. Anyway, I'm just putting that out
thank
there.
You, it's Dr. happening Nelson. Sooner.
Yeah. I say that a lot. My happiest moments of my days are spent with my patients.
Absolutely.
Had this wonderful lady yesterday. She's, I come here for you. I want you to do this.
Yes.
I love you
from my heart.
Thank you so much. You know,
That's what makes it all worthwhile, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Always.
I tell people, I feel like I have the best job in the world.
Yes.
Right.
Really. Oh, way too fun. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Nelson.
All right.
Ed, thank you for holding. Let's see. How can we help you today, Ed?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been a patient at. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I've been a patient at Longevity for 15 years. And Dr. Nelson, you did stem cell on my left knee 5 years ago, and it's doing fine. The problem is now I fell off a ladder 6 months ago and really messed up my left rotator cuff. And I saw two surgeons at Virginia Mason. And on the MRI, it's pretty bad. I can read it out to you in a second here. They only gave me a 40% chance of success. I'm 85, and they really didn't want to do it. So
right.
I'm kind of at a dilemma. I'll read the MRI. It says, the MRI shows significant tears of your rotator cuff muscles of the shoulder. And I'm going to have some trouble with the words here. Massive rotator cuff tear, which is full thickness and full width at supraspinatus and infraspinatus.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Uh-huh. Associated diffuse infraspinatus, muscle edema, and mild atrophy. Advanced acromyoclavicular and myelogenohumeral osteoarthritis. The long head of bicep tendon probably split tear at the proximal groove.
I messed it up pretty good.
Ed, you did so good. Dr. Nelson, how about we review the anatomy of the rotator cuff?
Right, yeah.
A little bit at this point, because he mentioned the muscles.
Right.
Obviously, the four muscle groups.
Four muscle groups, we call them the sits, right? It's supraspinatus, infraspinatus,
subscapularis,
and subscapularis.
My shoulder's hurting now, just listening to this.
So those all those muscles come from the main part of the body and turn into tendons, and when they attach to your upper part of your humerus, that's how you move your shoulder. So those tendons all make up what we call the rotator cuff. And through wear and tear or injuries or getting older a little bit, those tendons are subject to tearing, and you can get a rotator cuff tear, and that can be pretty disabling. And you bring up a good point, and you got this MRI. And there's sometimes when in my older patients, when they ask, well, why aren't you going to order an MRI? And I say, well, I have your x-rays, and I know the x-rays tell me a lot. The MRI is going to give me a laundry list of all these things that are wrong with your shoulder, just like everything you went through. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because the stem cell procedure is amazing for shoulders. And it's of all the major joints, shoulder, knee, hips, stem cell is our best responder overall. I mean,
so the shoulder is the best responder?
Absolutely. Okay. And I would say, and we're collecting all our data through a company called Data Biologics, but I would say it's close to 85% success rate, meaning even in some severe cases.
So even with a full thickness tear, right, like he mentioned?
Yeah, because full thickness tear, people get, if they have a full thickness tear, that's fine because a lot of people get full thickness tears and don't have pain, right? Or they might have pain initially, but later on. So they might have some limitation in some of their range of motion, but they can still function fine. It's really the underlying chronic arthritis of the glenohumeral joint, the AC joint. Sometimes they'll have some subacromial bursitis, but all of that can be treated with the stem cell procedure. Mm.
In the past, I seem to remember that surgical treatment versus non-surgical treatment for rotator cuff tears, the outcome used to be the same in the long run, and in fact, the non-surgical patients had a better range of motion. Is that still true,
yeah,
or does it depend upon how significant the tear is?
I think it depends on how significant, but the fact is, you're repairing tissues in those rotator cuff tears. If it's a large tear, the chance of it re-tearing, because it's not a great blood supply.
Yes, right? That is correct.
In that tendon. So in a large tear, if they go to repair it, you know, the chance of a re-tear is significant, something like 40-50%. Now, I can't remember the exact numbers, but even so, we've seen patients that have done stem cell with this kind of situation and have done absolutely amazing almost across the board and patients in like 90 years old. And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum where patients will undergo a total shoulder replacement, so-called reverse shoulder.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
Okay.
That's like a year out of your life.
So as long as he doesn't have a fracture and he has some tear of the rotator cuff tendons, you think his outcome will be better if he has stem cell therapy with PRP or with bone marrow, or how and how many treatments?
Yeah. Right now we use predominantly bone marrow for stem cells, but we're using adipose now too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because that's new. You did not do that in the past.
Yeah, it's always been around, but the adipose systems that I trialed before, I was not really crazy about. They were just too cumbersome. I just didn't like the way we had to do it when we used the adipose. So the company that we now use called Body Ecoject, the company that makes this machine is out of Germany. So it's basically a liposuction procedure to harvest the adipose using kind of a liposuction procedure. Patients tolerate it very well, even wide awake. And the machine at the same time micronizes the adipose, so we don't have to add anything. In the previous, a lot of the adipose harvesting before, you had to add an enzyme called collagenase, and that was a gray area with the FDA, right? We're not supposed to add anything to it because then it becomes a pharmaceutical in the FDA eyes, which I think is kind of absurd. So now this, we don't have to add anything. The machine does the whole work. We get the beautiful fat. In fact, I told this lady the other day, she's in her 40s, I think, and she had some knees that needed stem cell.
A liposuction at the same time.
Well, we did. We did liposuction, and then I told her after she was fine in the little recovery area, and I said, I don't think anybody's ever told you this, but you have really beautiful fat. You
know? Wow.
She took it well, but...
Wow. Can you sign up to be a donor for this?
You start looking at when you've done a bunch of these, had this beautiful kind of yellow fat that just layered up beautifully and produced enough of it that I knew it was going to be great, you know, so I suspect. So
Dr. Nelson.
That's right. And I doubt she told anyone. The doctor said
she was a very sweet lady. I think she took it well.
Aww.
But So adipose, so bone marrow,
so you harvest
PRP.
That. And yeah. how much adipose tissue are you taking out?
Typically, out of what we'll do is we'll get about 10 milliliters of adipose.
Okay, so not a whole
now,
lot.
Now, typically I will add some, I will do PRP with it at the same time.
Fair enough.
There have been some cases where we've done bone marrow and adipose and PRP all at the same time.
Oh, wow,
time. So
okay.
Getting a triple play going there.
Okay. We'll come back and finish that
off. Will you stay there, Ed? We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back to talk more about this with Dr. Nelson and Dr. Umat. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Yeah, that's another thing they'll see Dr. Mixon and I and you all dancing and singing along and to the music on the show. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with Dr. Umat and Dr. Dan Nelson. We're talking with Ed about stem cells and rotator cuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, Dr. Nelson, you were saying that despite what the MRI shows, he's probably a good candidate for stem cell, maybe with PRP, maybe with bone marrow, maybe not.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, I get excited about hearing about shoulders like this because how well they do overall. And the alternative, as I said before, is that in this situation is probably going to be a total shoulder replacement. Mm. And that is a big deal. That's a big surgery. The orthopedic doctor will say, well, in 3 months recovery time, it's more like 6 to 12 months minimum. Because I've kind of helped a lot of these patients through the recovery of a total shoulder, and it is a big surgery with a long recovery time.
Hey, Ed, what are your surgeons telling you?
Well, that was my question. You pretty much answered it, that they said either physical therapy or I talked to my Dr. Cazara over at Linwood, and I had my blood draw. And my inflammation was way up. And so I've been taking extra resveratrol and relief factor to keep my inflammation down because my CRP was off the charts. And because I was doing physical therapy, I was doing a do-it-yourselfer, and I think I did some damage. And he said I was probably exercising wrong. So for 2 weeks, I've done no exercise at all. It's gotten better. And so you think that the stem cell and the PRP is a good option like you did on my knee?
Absolutely. And the beauty of the stem cell PRP combination is it's a very potent anti-inflammatory, but a good anti-inflammatory. You know, things like ibuprofen and cortisone, those are bad anti-inflammatories because they're they're essentially catabolic agents. They break down tissue over time, where the stem cell PRP combination is anabolic. It builds up tissue. It repairs tissue, even repairs cartilage. That's controversial, but the science is absolutely there that there is cartilage formation with stem cell injections into joints. It's not going to give you the cartilage you had when you were a teenager, but nonetheless, there is science to show that there is new cartilage formation, plus all the other things that it does.
So the other question is, it's probably similar to the knee, is that the Social Security or Medicare will probably cover the PRP, but not the stem cell. So is there an idea, what it might cost for this particular treatment?
Right. So, yeah, unfortunately, Medicare, most insurance companies will not cover it with rare exceptions. So we're probably on the low end of anywhere in the country. So $6,500 for a major joint. And with that, you get stem cell, real stem cell, not fake stem cell off the shelf from some chiropractic office. Sorry, I'm just putting that out there. And you're going to get a PRP booster at 6 weeks. So they get stem cell PRP on the first visit. 6 weeks later, you get the PRP booster. I don't know if you remember that from your knee, but that's the way. And that's a great value, I will say. Go ahead.
Essentially, it cost me about the same as my knee. So we're looking at approximately the same. Right. Okay, great. That's good news because I don't have a lot of pain, only when I extend, you know, I have lost range of motion and that sort of thing. And I'm guessing, Dr. Umat, that I'm doing the right thing, taking extra resveratrol.
Yes, relief factor. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you said don't do the wrong exercise, which I agree with, but range of motion is important because if you don't move the joint, it'll become locked. So you do as much as you can. And for shoulders, for rotator cuff injuries, we usually have you bend down, like at the waist, and then just let free gravity move your arm. So move your arm in circles.
Doing that in the studio, by the way.
You won't damage. Yeah, you won't damage it. So maintain some range of motion, okay?
Also, the nice one is the finger walk up the wall. Doing the finger walk up the wall.
Stand a distance away from the wall so that your shoulder is, straight, and then walk your fingers up the wall as far as you can take them, and then walk them down.
Yeah.
Well, I think making a mistake. I was using arm curls, and I have a bench with cable weights, and I think I was overdoing it. I think I was actually hitting my own body. So I think I better not do anything until I come and see you, Dr. Nelson. Maybe
I think that would be the right call. And one thing you mentioned, I think, is that a lot of it's not pain related, but just because it's your shoulder's not working right. Yeah. Is that what you said, Ed? Or is there a lot of pain with it?
Well, everything's working. It's just when I extend out, it hurts. I don't have the strength that I had. I mean, you can tell. It doesn't hurt if I'm just sitting and not doing a lot, but when I extend things, it hurts, sure. And things are a little loose in there, I can tell.
Right. But. So, and the reason I bring that up is the stem cell is not just for pain, but we see restored function. We see increased range of motion. We see reduction of laxity. All these things.
So the stability of the joint.
Stability of the joint. A lot of patients will have instability. They're walking along and they'll have what we call give way in their knee, or their knees are unstable.
Right.
And actually will improve. So that not only is their pain better, but their knees working better. Right. And the same with the shoulder and other joints.
Right.
So anyway, I just thought I'd kind of emphasize that.
Okay. Dr. Mew, my CRP was up to about 10. That's pretty high. So
yes,
I should stop doing anything to aggravate it, right?
Right. Don't do any resistance training, but gentle range of motion is important because you don't want it to freeze on you. Rotator cuff tears are notorious for causing a frozen shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
I don't want that.
Okay. It looks like I'll be giving you a phone call, Dr. Nelson. I'll get that set up.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. And if you're listening and you're like, I want to give Dr. Dan Nelson a phone call as well, you can at Pro Ortho. I'm going to give you that phone call, that phone number right now. And then, of course, I'll give it to you at the end of the show as well. That number to get Dr. Dan Nelson, 425-823-4000. That's easy to remember. 425-823-4000 and online danielnelsonmd.com. All right. We are going to continue talking about stem cells. Let's go to Stanwood. We have Warren on the line. Hi, Warren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say in 1984, that's a long time ago, I suffered a torn knee and meniscus in my right knee, and they did this super surgery arthroscopic that was Stone Age back then, and it did real well. But in 2015, I suffered a ACL damage, and I had an ACL repair, and it's gone wonderfully.
Same
but
knee?
My meniscus is now hurting, and I've seen X-rays of it, and there was not a whole lot of it left. And I'm curious. I mean, you've got embryonic stem cell, you've got the meniscus replacement, you've got the other treatments. Where does one go in trying to avoid massive knee replacement, which is what through the Everett Clinic, and they don't even talk about any of this other stuff, of course. They just, replace the knee and that's it. And I really don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Juan. You mean you don't want your knee amputated and thrown in the bucket and started with some artificial hardware that's never meant to be in your body?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
You don't throw the engine away when you only got a bad fuel pump, you know?
Right. No, the best stuff is the stuff that God gave you. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So you mentioned a couple other things. I think embryonic... to me, that's a big no-no. That's a big scam. The embryonic, first of all, nobody hopefully is using actual embryonic tissue. We just don't do that. Mm. Now, there are people using what I call the birth products,
placental
stuff, yeah. Umbilical cord,
yeah.
Amniotic
that's
fluid, all that stuff. All that stuff is
umbilical cord.
Yeah, all that stuff is very suspect. And so a bunch of leading regenerative medicine doctors, some of them who I know personally, came out with a consensus statement about 3 years ago where they said all this birth product stuff is really not stem cells. Mm. And it's very unlikely that there's any viable stem cells in any of those products because they have to process them and sterilize them before they're injected or they would cause massive infection. So plus it's still a foreign substance.
Mm.
The beauty of what we do is we're using your own stem cells, of which you have plenty. And I tell, patients come in all the time because they've heard some stuff. Well, my stem cells are too old.
Yeah.
And I tell them, you're here talking to me in my clinic. Your stem cells are fine. They're totally fine. I guarantee you, you're fine or you wouldn't be here. And so anyway, that was just a little digression there. The meniscus repair. No, meniscus has a bad blood supply. The chance of any meniscus repair being viable for any length of time, not great.
Is that why they take it off and just replace it?
So when they do a meniscectomy, they're just removing this. They're cleaning it up. So they're removing some cartilage that's there and the meniscus. But the fact is, people do fine without their meniscus. We have patients who come in with big meniscus tears and have stem cells, and they do great.
Mm-hmm.
They do fantastic. So the fact that it's torn, that's, again, the problem with the MRI. And some patients, especially older patients, to me it's like a search and destroy mission. Like the surgeon go, I can go in and fix that. I can go fix that. That's not the point. And especially in the age of over 50, the chance of doing any good is really minimal.
Mm.
Stem cell, on the other hand, it'll fix all that stuff.
Well, during residency, I've watched orthopedic surgeons do the arthroscopic maneuver and cut out the stem cell, the meniscus the tags and the torn meniscus, and they snip.
Right.
Clean it up.
Yeah. Now, the one exception, if somebody has torn meniscus and they got a flap and it's interfering with the hinge mechanism, the knee's locking up, there's a good indication to go and have a meniscectomy.
Right.
But in anybody over the age of 50, multiple studies have shown arthroscopic meniscus repair versus physical therapy. Mm. Outcomes are the same.
Same
outcomes. So, I tread a little carefully because I'm in an orthopedic clinic, right? And they all do good work. None of them do unnecessary surgeries, but I can't say that for everybody.
Right.
So does
is that helpful?
The stem cell, does it grow something? Because the doctors, like I say, blew me off 5-6 years ago when I had the ACL. They said, you're not a candidate because you're too old.
About stem cell.
Well, no, this was about just doing the ACL repair.
Oh, just by doing the ACL.
And my wife did research and said, no, you're wrong. And I did an hour and a half of physical therapy every day after the surgery. But the stem cell, does it regenerate the meniscus? Does it?
It goes all over.
Understanding what it does.
Let's come back.
Okay, we'll come back to that because we got to go to break.
It's a good question. Warren, stay right there. And Susan will be talking to you about your meniscus in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be right back. Stay there.
Sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try.
Take it easy. Hey, that's kind of a good theme for us. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Dan Nelson and Dr. Umat. We're talking about menisci. Is that right, Dr. Nelson? Meniscuses or menisci?
Yeah, so a meniscus would be the singular, menisci.
Okay.
There's two. In the menisci, you have two. There's a paired structure. So you got a medial meniscus and a lateral meniscus.
Oh, so you do have two on.
Basically two. And they're kind of connected. A little bit, but they refer to the medial and lateral meniscus.
Okay, good. So. I didn't know if I had just made that up.
You were totally good.
Okay. All right, and we have Warren on the line.
Yes, continue. What was the question?
Well, I guess I don't understand exactly what the stem cell does as far as, I mean, if you were to inject it and take an x-ray, and then do you see actual growth happen or you know, what does it do in this?
What is it doing? Yes, great question. The great question. And a lot of this we don't, is a little bit mysterious, but we do know there's a very potent repair process that happens. Now, is it going to give you a new meniscus? Probably not likely, but what we emphasize is it reduces the pain and improves the range of motion and function of the knee. Now, I tell people, look, and they often ask, you know, well, can I get an MRI 6 months? My knee's feeling great. Can we get an MRI? I said, well, you know, you have to pay for the MRI, right? So, but if your knee's working great and you have no pain, do we really want to know? I mean, does that, because that's what we really want.
So what you're saying is the pathology may still be there, but because the inflammation was what causing the pain, the stem cells seem to just cause the inflammation to subside.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So the thing is, you still may have a torn meniscus, but it's not causing any pain.
You know what? When we were in training, a lot of times we saw X-rays of the spine that did not correlate at all with the patient's symptoms. Right. Sometimes the patient was in so much pain and the x-ray did not show anything wrong. And then there were other times when the patient did not have any pain and the x-ray was horrific.
Right. I've said that.
You were scared to tell the patient that, oh, you could have this, that, or the other, because the patient said, I'm no pain at all. The x-ray was just done and it was an incidental finding.
Right.
And so there were many, many times when we found no correlation between symptoms and the radiological findings.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I tell patients all the time is we don't treat x-rays and MRIs. We treat the patient.
Yes.
Now, we need those imaging studies because it can be very helpful. But absolutely, Samaria, you can have one patient come in and they'll have maybe a little tiny disc bulge on their MRI, but otherwise a pristine looking spine. And they're in agony.
Yeah.
And then I'll have the next patient come in and I'll take x-rays and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are they walking?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, mm-hmm. and then trying to reconcile and just that's the art of medicine. And what we do is taking everything. We don't just look at x-rays. We have to take in the whole human being and kind of understand what's going on.
Right. So the purpose of the stem cell injections is to help with the inflammation and the inflammatory process.
Yeah. So it's a two-headed coin, that inflammation, inflammatory, but it's a regenerative side, too, that it does repair tissue. We know that for a fact. And that's we wouldn't see improved function of these joints if there wasn't some sort of
regeneration
of tendons, ligaments, cartilage, you know, all those, that whole milieu in there improves. And it's kind of magical the way it works. But the fact is, you know, when we're young, we have, you know, we probably are tearing meniscus and damaging our joints all the time because we have turnover of cartilage and tissue and ligaments. We have that turnover because we have stem cells on our knees and our joints that are there. And we're full of stem cells when we're young. As we age, we don't keep up.
Yeah.
So all we're doing.
I mean, Dr. Mixon says this all the time, right? That our cells are turning over constantly.
Oh, yeah.
The lining of the gut turns over. The skin turns over. You remove the dead and you regenerate with the new ones. But as we get older, that process slows down quite a bit. Mm. And when that process slows down, that's where you start seeing problems. And so anything that helps stimulate that process. So we talk about senescent cells and the fact that they are damaging because they prevent normal cells from performing their functions.
Right, and it is amazing. I mean, I always forget the number, but our gut lining, like 300 billion cells are produced every day some crazy number like that. That doesn't happen without stem cells. So our gut lining has stem cells embedded into it, and we need, and they're cranking them out. And we have them throughout our body. But in our joints, as we get older, they don't quite keep up like they did.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that encouraging for you, Warren?
Yeah, I actually have a CD of my x-rays of my right knee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty scary to look at. Is the procedure going forward? You were talking to the gentleman who had the shoulder treatment. Is it for the knee? Is it pretty much the same? And because it isn't covered by,
pretty much the same. Pretty much the same for a knee.
Does that also include the adipocytes? Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We usually use one or the other. We usually use BMAC, bone marrow aspirate concentrate, or adipose. In some cases, we'll use both. It's, you know, takes more time and more equipment, more supplies to do both, so we have to charge most. But usually adipose or, bone marrow by itself, but we combine it with PRP, platelet rich
plasma. Are you seeing better results with the adipose? Is it worthwhile for the patient to consider that?
I'm not at the point where we're saying we're doing better with adipose, but we have seen at least a couple cases where patients did not okay or a little bit, maybe a little disappointing with the bone marrow, we crossed over to adipose and they did better. I saw a gentleman just last week for his knees, and he had bone marrow done twice, and it was okay, but it would. Clearly, we didn't have the staying power that we were hoping. So recently, we did adipose stem cells, and he is very happy. He said this has been much better. Now, there are some studies, apparently, and I can't reference them off the top of my head, where older patients, say over 65, adipose may have an advantage over bone marrow for stem cells. But, you know, that's one or two papers. You know, we are still just in the infancy of this whole field, and that's why I love reading about it, going to conferences, because it's always, we're just learning stuff all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that helpful for you, Warren?
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Very good. All right.
Good luck, Warren.
Thank you so much. Here's that number to call if you have a question for Dr. Umat or Dr. Nelson. 800-465-8770. We're headed to Tacoma, and we have Susan on the line. Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Susan.
Thank you. Hi. I, too, have had severe knee pain. It started over late last summer, early fall. Normally, I'm very active. I hike, kayak, and my right knee was starting to give me problems. And I went to the doctor. They did x-rays. It came out. They said I had arthritis, and it got so bad to where in the beginning it wasn't that bad, and I kind of stretched out. I toughed through it, and it got to the point to where I could barely walk. They sent me to physical therapy. That wasn't helping, so they did an MRI. And it turns out that I have osteoarthritis and a minor meniscus tear. So I finally got to see my orthopedic doctor, and he said that because before they were talking about surgery, if I would need surgery. So he said, I'm not really a candidate for surgery with a meniscus tear. And he said, I'm too young to have a knee replacement. And I agree with that. And he did do an injection. I can't remember what it was, if it was a cortisone or steroid. And then I heard you talking about cortisone shots earlier, saying they're really not that great. But it did alleviate the pain because I couldn't even stand still. I mean, I've been missing work. It hurt so bad. I could not stand in one spot for more than like 15 seconds, and it was severe pain, and I could not straighten it out, which was weird. It was bent slightly no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I'm very healthy. I exercise. I mean, I take collagen. I do omegas. I mean, I take hyaluronic acid, turmeric, glucosamine. I mean, I'm trying to do everything natural as I possibly can. He did also mentioned the PRP, and I was not familiar with that. And in between the calls and stuff, can you explain that PRP for me a little bit more, or do you have any other suggestions?
No, well, let's talk about PRP. Sure. And we do a lot of PRP. We've been talking a lot about stem cells, but PRP is platelet-rich plasma. So you have platelets, Susan, circulating in your blood, which do things like when you have a cut, it will the platelets go there and through a fairly complex process will form a blood clot as part of this clotting cascade. Well, the platelets have at least 9 different growth factors, probably a lot more than that that we know. So when those platelets go there, they kind of break apart and they release all these growth factors that are very potent repair agents. And they'll go to work starting to repair, you know, the skin, you know, collagen, blood vessels, anything in that area. So we just, you know, simply take advantage of that. We can take the patient's blood, we spin it down to get what we call the platelet fraction, the platelet rich plasma fraction, so PRP, and we use that. And we do a lot of PRP just by itself for like Achilles tendonitis, tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, even some rotator cuff issues. So we are doing a lot of PRP injections. Now, here's the deal. In knees and major joints, and I've been doing PRP for, 20 plus years, and we did some for arthritis in knees and shoulders, hips, and it was okay. It wasn't fantastic. I mean, it was definitely helpful, and some patients definitely benefited. And then when stem cell became available for, you know, for a clinic, the average clinic, like an orthopedic clinic like ours, we were able to take it up a notch. I mean, stem cells definitely, for major joint arthritis, stem cells definitely superior. PRP still helpful, and we still do PRP for arthritis in the joints, but the stem cell has definitely been a game changer. So, does that answer your question?
And I definitely, stem cell, I would like to do that, but at this time, like many people, my insurance doesn't cover stem cells.
Right.
So
yeah.
It sounds like maybe the platelet-rich plasma may be the next best thing. So I'm totally new to this. I've never had any health issues before. Where do they take the blood from? Just like when they take blood, like when
just
blood?
Like
is that how they take it?
Regular blood draw. Yeah, it literally takes, you know, 5-10 minutes. Regular blood draw. We spin it down. 10 minutes later, you have it. We just and then we do the injection.
Right.
So it's a very, very quick, very
just
quick process.
Just a little extra than more than a little, you know, for a blood test, and then they spin it through a centrifuge,
yep.
And then we extract out the platelet-rich fragment of the blood. And then that is what's given for the injection. So it's injected wherever there's
and
a
longevity
problem.
Medical Clinic does PRP.
We do too. Yes. PRP.
I did my testing there. You did the free analysis at Longevity Clinic, and then I also went and did the blood draw. So I'm looking forward to my appointment to go down there and have that discussion as well.
That's great. So happy to hear.
And you started to say something else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. Was I talking? No, I can't remember.
You got me.
No.
Then I asked a question. You started to say something.
Oh, I forgot what I said. But I will say that's a great time to tell people why I love longevity patients who come to my clinic for stem cell PRP is they're already tuned up. I don't have to have the discussion about
yes, and, they know, already know.
It always, you know, it gives me when I talk to a patient and I say I mention anti-inflammatory diet and things like that, and if I get a deer in the headlights look, like, okay, this is, you know, we're going to have to talk about a few things,
sure.
You know, when I get a longevity patient, it's just like, I don't have to go through this whole song. You know, I already know they're tuned for maximum benefit for what I'm going to do.
Yes.
So it's, anyway, that's my little plug for Longevity Medical Clinic.
There you go.
Matt, no.
Oh, thank you for your call, Susan.
Okay. And I did, so they're going to, they do the PRP at the Madigan Army Hospital, which I was very surprised.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you
yes.
have any, do you think it should probably be just the same? Now, do you have any other suggestions? Because it has helped with my knee pain, because I know the other doctor, you were saying that it's good. You got to, even though you're having pain, you got to keep moving because you don't want it to lock up. But it was to the point for a while where I could barely walk, so I couldn't exercise. But he did mention, my doctor the other day said, slowly start walking, even go on my elliptical. I have a stair climber. I stopped using the stair climber because I know that's probably not very good for my knees right now.
Right. So are you getting PRP injections at Madigan? Is that what I heard?
Well, we're not yet. He gave me the cord. I guess it was a shot they gave me the other day.
A cortisone shot.
A cortisone, and it did. I know those could be negative too, but it did alleviate the pain because it was
absolutely
really bad.
So you, Madigan, interesting. I believe they are all over the PR. So they provide it for active duty. Because, and unfortunately, you know, I have a lot of vets in my practice too. You know, and but it's not covered for, like, you can't go to the VA.
The
VA doesn't provide it, but Madigan does. And the difference between that, unfortunately, and this sounds kind of crass, but you're active duty, you're an asset. If you're retired military, you're a liability. I mean, that's just kind of how it works, unfortunately. But Madigan, they're all over the PRP from what I hear.
But, you know, the history of PRP, it started actually for patients that had ligament and joint and tendon problems. That's how we discovered the beauty of the PRP treatments and the benefit that patient got, because they started using it in athletes first, in professional athletes, where they couldn't have a lot of downtime and they needed to get them back into the sport activity very quickly. So I've, you know, been in touch with Olympic-level physicians who train Olympic-level athletes who said, you know, they start with the peptides, they start with PRP, because the athlete cannot do range of motion. They have to get them back to the playing field. They cannot have restriction of range and freezing of the joint. So
because there's a lot of money involved.
There is. And so this is where the PRP stuff started, and now, you know, they use it a lot for the general population, but also in aesthetics, we use it for rejuvenation of the face and so on and so forth, hair and all. So, but the point being that it is the growth factors that are being injected back into the system. The use of your growth factors is better than corticosteroids, because corticosteroids can damage the tissue if it is used a lot. So when I was, you know, practicing physical medicine and rehab, we used a lot of steroid injections, but we tried to minimize it to no more than 3 times in a year. I do believe they have a role to play in an acute situation like yours. So it did help, but you don't want to overuse the steroid because it is damaging in the long run. Okay?
Yes. Well said.
That's good to hear, because my doctor said the same thing. He said he didn't want to do it more than 3 times a year. And I've never served. My husband is the veteran in the family, and that's why I go to Madigan. So my husband was very surprised when they mentioned PRP. So I'm hoping they'll do that for me, because I think he was saying down the road, if I start to need help again, he's going to see me in a couple months. So so this helps. Thank you. To have that explained a little bit more, because you know, it's no fun being in pain. And I do the collagen that I take. It has the bioactive peptides. I work in a health food store, so I have access to many good supplements. Any other supplements you might mention
might help with this? Susan, not supplements. Supplements, I think I heard you mention all the ones. I would say curcumin, fish oil. You mentioned glucosamine. Yes. You mentioned the peptides. I would maybe possibly think about boswellia. Boswellia is a natural steroid, anti-inflammatory. But since you've been to our longevity clinic and you've had your blood drawn, I'll say a couple of things. I find testosterone cream really helpful in decreasing inflammation. So I do have my patients rub the cream on the area of pain, because it does help decrease inflammation in that area. And then the other thing your longevity doctor can do is prescribe a Ketocam-like cream, which is basically topical, but it has an anti-inflammatory, it has a muscle relaxant, and it can also have a little bit of a steroid. And that can just help decrease the inflammation in the area. So it is a prescription, and our doctors do use that, and you use it only when you're in severe pain, and it will help reduce the pain. You won't have to take oral pills and drugs that can hurt the GI system. So you do have options if you choose to become a longevity patient. Okay?
Okay, and you said the first one was a testosterone cream?
Yes, testosterone
cream. Okay, I'm trying to write this down.
It, testosterone is a healer. Testosterone helps decrease inflammation. It helps rejuvenation. And so we use testosterone for both men and women. It helps you build muscle mass, but it locally, when it's applied to an area of pain, it decreases inflammation over there. So I do like to use it whenever I can.
Okay, that's great to know. Well, thank you so much for this information. I really appreciate your show.
You're welcome. And thank you for the call, Susan.
Good luck, Susan.
I think we have time for one more call.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to go to Olympia with Alf on the line. Hi there, Alf.
Hello.
Oh.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How can we help you, sir?
Well, I have a recent diagnosis of prostate cancer. And
okay.
I was given like 3 different options, and I just kind of wanted to see what you think. My Gleason scores were out of 15 biopsies, most of them were 6.
Okay.
There was like 2 7. There were 2 7s, and they were 3 4, not 4 3. And so the urologist is like, "Yeah, you should just get your prostate out within 6 months." And then I consulted with the surgeon, and he said, "Well, we could do that, or you could go on active surveillance and, you know, if there's any changes, do another MRI. If something's changed, then you can shift course then."
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, and then there's the radiation treatments, which I'm really not a fan of. It just seems like too much could go wrong there or something.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to figure out what I should do. Like, how dangerous is it to wait? I know it's a slow growing thing, but
Fair enough. So how old are you, sir?
61.
Okay, so you're young. You know, they're right and you're right in that prostate cancer is a very slow growing cancer. And your Gleason score is not that bad right now, but the problem is if you don't do anything and if this kind of spreads outside of the prostate tissue, then it can become a problem for you. If this was a recent elevation in a PSA and then you just went and did the investigations, you still do have time. You don't have to rush into your decision about surgery right away. You can think about it a little bit longer, optimize your health in other ways. You know, if you're overweight, lose your fat, change your diet a little bit. Cancer is not going to go away, but what I'm saying is it's not going to metastasize tomorrow. It is very slow growing. You can wait and watch this with your surgeon and then decide to do surgery if your PSAs are rising. If your PSAs are staying stable, then and you can work on your lifestyle issues. You know, I find that my patients who are healthy when they go into surgery have a better outcome after the surgery. By that I mean energy, stamina, diet, lifestyle. Because, yes, you're going to have to make some changes in your lifestyle. This is a scary diagnosis. You have a whole lot of life ahead of you, and you want to do the best you can to live a healthier life. And whatever your decision, it is your personal decision, with or without radiation, with or without prostate surgery. But I think if it spreads, then it's dangerous. So you don't want to get to that point. It is wise to wait and watch for a little bit longer. And then go into surgery when you are mentally, physically, emotionally prepared for surgery and have a better outcome at that time.
Yeah, because, I mean, naturally I'm concerned about the potential risk of the surgery, you know.
Absolutely.
And I am young, and I don't want to lose control and stuff like that.
Absolutely. The time tells me we have to go, but, you know, call again next week or call on our other show. We'll talk more about it. But the robotic surgeries nowadays have a better outcome than the surgeries previously. And so you do have options. So you can do your own research and then go into this with open eyes and knowing full well what the consequences will be. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Thank you for the call, Alf.
Yeah.
All right. The music says it's the end of our show. It goes so quickly. Really quick, let me give you the information on the webinar that Dr. Nelson is doing. It's coming up Thursday, February 29th at 6 p.m. on the sacroiliac joint. And you can get more details by going to his website, DanielNelsonMD.com. That's all the time we have now. So we'll see you next week, live right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great rest of your weekend.